and the quarterback position in the NFL. Right now, Justin Fields is going to be the starter for the Bears, but when Andy Dalton is healthy, he's the starter, according to Matt Nagy. That's, I know, sitting really well with Bears fans. And then you have Tua out this week. Also, the Texans without Tyrod Taylor, a pec injury with Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers trying to get him ready for Week 3, a game against the Bengals coming up. So a number of quarterback injuries already early this season.
Ben Roethlisberger in his media avail saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to play on Sunday. I was just like, oh, this isn't going to end well for Big Ben, is it?
Well, define ending well.
He should have called it quits last year after the 11-game win streak.
So like week 14, like, I mean, I'm out of here?
No, like you want to go out not being completely deteriorated and not hurting your team, too, I would think. I know professionals, it's different. You're trying to make as much money as you can. And I can't blame them for that because they're paying him a ton of money.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wonder if people will get frustrated with him coming back for another season. Like the fans that have loved him for this long.
Yeah, maybe. If they make the playoffs, which they very well can, then they're probably not winning the Super Bowl, but that could be it.
Yeah.
Where he makes one more run of the playoffs and you say goodbye there. But he's obviously not anywhere close to where he was in his prime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very apparent. But hopefully they will make the playoffs, but I don't know. I mean, it's AFC, there's some good teams. I mean, remember I had the Raiders in the playoffs, and there were other people that didn't, but that's... That's looking like that division could have, two, maybe three participants. I mean, look at the Chargers, too. We'll see what happens, but...
I know I said it yesterday, and I'm sure I said it last week. There is such a long way to go with this NFL season.
Yeah.
I mean, you just heard in the Sports Minute from CBS, we have 16 weeks remaining in the season. We have so long to go. There will be injuries, more injuries at the quarterback position. Rosters will be hit hard. We saw what happened to the 49ers last year. So
COVID protocols. I mean, COVID's going to continue to be part of the conversation. Yeah.
So right now you have Antonio Brown on the COVID reserve list with the Bucs. It's just Wednesday, so we'll see how things play out this week. But a long way to go, and we don't have that many 2-0 teams remaining. So 1 week to the next, things can look very different in the NFL. If the Steelers beat the Bengals, maybe we'll sing a different tune coming up next week. So we have that going on, plus Tennessee, Florida. Coming up on Saturday, as I think, we're halfway through the week. This is where you start to say, okay, well, what about this? If this happens, maybe we have a shot. Is that right?
Yes, I think so. And you have to keep in mind, Tennessee is going to have to play out of their minds, and Florida is going to have to be just a little slow, right? Like, I mean, if you're truly looking for a puncher's chance, how can you catch them slipping? But I was talking to Jimmy Himes about it yesterday as we were doing the show change, and Sports Talk was coming in the studio, and I was just getting his opinion on, quarterback spot, who gives you the best chance. And I said, what does Tennessee have to do? And Jimmy was like, they would have to be probably plus three in the turnover battle. And you would have to take the quarterback spot would have to take a big step forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was going through a checklist with you guys a few minutes ago off the air. And I said, okay, who has the better roster? We agreed Florida. Who's better at quarterback right now? Would have to say Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the more proven head coach? Florida. Who's better along the lines of scrimmage? Florida. Who's at home? Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up with a winning formula on Tennessee side is difficult. So no doubt, I would say a turnover margin, you have to have a clear advantage. You have to play well, maybe win in special teams, depending on how that would be described, at least try to make some plays there, and come up with big plays on offense that can help equalize, but at the same time, you can't give them up to Florida. So you don't really have any obvious advantages going in, so you have to make up the difference in unpredictable ways.
Yes, I would also point out Emory Jones isn't up for the Heisman Trophy, right? And
right.
Anthony Richardson, you don't know how healthy he is. He goes out to run and say he breaks one for 54 yards like Joe Milton did versus Pitt, and then all of a sudden he's pulling up with his hamstring. You just don't know what is going to happen. And Emory Jones is not this flawless quarterback that is just going to score on every drive. So I do think people need to... Again, what they did Saturday was so impressive that it has now skewed what you think about this game. But if you are watching the film, all of the film, like the team is, they're seeing the fact that, you know, Emory Jones has thrown 5 interceptions. He's only thrown for 2 touchdowns. You know, they're seeing more of the flaws, whereas we are prisoners of the moment, and we are seeing what they did against Alabama, which means something. It quantifies. I mean, it is data that you have to process. It just might not mean everything.
Yeah, it's just that Emory Jones was better against Alabama than Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker were against Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
So that means something.
Yeah, they do still have an advantage,
right, very much.
I'm talking about from Tennessee's defensive perspective. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there like, this guy has flaws. Can we exploit those?
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't the best quarterback play, most likely, that Tennessee will see. That's, I would say, Matt Corral, Bryce Young.
Yes.
This season.
So far.
JT
Daniels has the ability. Yeah.
Yeah, he's up there.
So, I mean, it's... Hey, it's tough, man. This is SEC. This is actually why you came to Tennessee, was to play in games like this. And it's there's a pride factor there that I know the fan base doesn't have much left because ours has been trampled. But you're hoping that the players have a little bit more. And, you know, those guys are swaggier and way cockier than what we are. So you just hope that, hey, listen, yeah, you're going in with a lot of disadvantages. But crazy upsets have happened in the past. And again, you have to go in with the mindset, I think, of what do I have to do so that I am the most successful, which then helps my team be the most successful.
Right. This is not to say Tennessee can't compete with Florida. It's just that Tennessee has to do something to make up the difference going in against Florida to be able to do that.
Yeah. And then you have to rely on fluky stuff, which is hard. You can't predict that. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have never predict the punt return for a touchdown, or not punt return, but the punt block for a touchdown versus Pitt, and they saw something.
Yeah.
You know, what else do they see that we aren't seeing because we're not watching 50 hours of game film? So,
yeah. But Tennessee has to be more efficient on offense. They have to hit more big plays. Yards per play right now for Tennessee is pretty rough.
Yes.
And plays down the field, not good at all. Opportunities have been there down the field. I would also say it's more difficult to hit those against more athletic defenses, which Florida would be compared to the previous three games. That's part of what I mean. Here's your first really big test, right, against Florida. The first three games have not been against really tough competition. Pitt's the best of the three, but it's not a great team by any means. And with Tennessee's numbers where they are on offense, and now you're about to face your tough part of the schedule. Okay, you need to get better, and in some ways get better in a big way immediately.
Yeah, get better in a big way against a superior team. Like that, all three of those things happening is just going to be really tough. I imagine the conversation next week is just going to be a general refocusing, like how did you stack up, you know, breaking down what happened in the 4 game, but then refocusing because you've got a nice winnable stretch that you could take advantage of. And so, you know, can you get somebody better? I like what David Cobb said. You know, it's still crazy how everybody you poll is just different. And you can make great arguments for either Hendon Hooker or Joe Milton. You know, I mean, it's just not cut and dry who your best option is. So I'm just very intrigued by what you're going to see from the quarterback spot for Tennessee.
Yep. Yards per play through the first 3 weeks in college football, Tennessee is 87th in the country. Plays of 20-plus yards, Tennessee is tied for 84th.
Mm-hmm.
So, need to be a lot better than that against Florida.
Yeah, you have to be better. You got to be more explosive. I mean, we talked about that in the offseason. That was like one of your keys. You're like, listen, I'm not teaching you rocket science here. Like, this is, you just got to have some of those more explosive plays.
Yeah.
You know, does Joe Milton give you the ability to do that? You've seen him go deep. Alante Taylor confirmed that they hit those in practice, you know, more times than they don't. Was the 0-for-5 accuracy problem versus Pitt? Was that more the anomaly worst case scenario, and there's a best case scenario that's still looming out there? I don't know, but you're going to find out. I would imagine, though, the receivers will not be as open, back to your point, against Florida as they were versus Pitt on some of those long plays.
Probably not. I still think Tennessee has a good offensive staff and they can find ways to get them open. But against Florida athletes versus Pitt athletes, I would expect a bigger challenge against the Gators. We will come back here. There is an update from Tennessee on season ticket plans moving forward with football and other sports. We'll get you some info on that when we come back. We're with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
I do. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with Florida 34-17.
34-17 Florida over Tennessee. Well, Linda, as you mentioned there, unfortunately, that's your prediction, but it would not be unfortunate if you're able to win a 2021 Ford Mustang.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, I think it's the right approach to take with what you believe will happen. We have your score recorded. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, Linda. She and others, as the week goes along, will be playing for the chance to win a 2021 Ford Mustang GT from Ted Russell Ford.
Yes, this vehicle, iconic, the Ford Mustang. Everybody knows about it. And this GT motor, how about 5-liter V8 engine? You are going to be driving around in style in a collectible piece of American muscle. I mean, this thing is amazing. And thanks to Ted Russell Ford for another great opportunity at winning such a cool vehicle.
That's right. Continue to listen this week and every week during the season for your chance to score a Ford from Ted Russell Ford. Heather, earlier this hour, Tennessee put out a release from Tennessee Athletics where they have put together a plan beginning in 2022 to, as they describe it, modernize football ticket pricing. They have a new model. I think part of the plan here is to try to expand the reach of donors and those who can get to Neyland Stadium for football season on a regular basis moving forward. But they are going to have a new model for season tickets moving forward.
Yes, they definitely are. And I'm sure some people are going to freak out. This has happened in a lot of places that have over the years had to redo how they were asking for donations to maximize what you are making out of the stadium. So there will be some people that aren't happy, but I can tell you, as somebody who has sat in some upper deck seats and has thought about maybe buying, as my kids get older, some season tickets, the reduction in price, $200 a ticket, well, that's significant. You're talking about $800 in savings when you're talking about a family of four. So there will be some positives. There will be some people that are also aggravated, and we'll see, you know, how it comes out in the wash. But I love Danny White's quote in this, and he's absolutely right, especially when you're talking about what can you generate on your campus. You're not talking about TV distribution payout or anything like that. You're trying to generate money. We all know that mo money means mo opportunity. Just look at Texas A&M, right? And the Texas Athletic Department. I mean, there's a reason why these big brands are able to pull in all this money and then spend it accordingly. But he said, in full transparency, our athletic department has no driver of revenue more powerful than Neyland Stadium. And in order for us to elevate our budget, catching up to many of our peers, I mean, don't forget, Tennessee is not numero uno. They're maybe not even in the top 10. We'd have to like look at the numbers, but they're going to have to, if they want to meet their lofty goals across all sports, we need to effectively capitalize on the power of that stadium and the strength and the passion of the fan base. It all works together to propel our teams to new heights. So I think he's spot on with what he said. I think the upgrades to the stadium, you know, with the north end zone video boards, the kind of terrace that they're going to have where you can just get drinks and hang out and stand around, that's going to be super cool. And some of the different, you know, renovations that they've laid out for the My All campaign. It'll all be good, I think, for the majority of people that either have season tickets or want season tickets.
Right. And as Danny White's discussing in his statement, and everybody recognizes, if they're going to reach full potential from a football standpoint, they have to have football results too. They're not going to maximize revenue without having increased results. They know that on the field, and that's not going to happen immediately, but it does have to happen pretty soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wonder what kind of timeline he is thinking about in the back of his mind. And, you know, I think maybe one of the harsh realities that those guys could be experiencing right now is just, wow, this was a big job. Like, people were not kidding when they said there was a lot of work to be done to get football back. It's not for lack of trying. I mean, people have definitely been trying to fix this for a while. And you're just hoping right now that Josh Heupel can get some results. I don't think you're getting to the promised land anytime soon. But can you change what the floor of the conversation is? I do think that's attainable.
So you can go to utsports.com. They put out that release here in the last half hour to find more information on football as well as the other sports, softball, baseball, basketball, with their remodeled plan for tickets moving forward.
Yeah, and I think they're also calling people. They mentioned that in the release. Like, if you're being either relocated, obviously you've got the rest of this season to kind of hash it out in your mind and think, okay, where do I want to go, or do I just want to pony up some more money, whatever. But they're also going to be reaching out, the donor department is, to just make sure things are cool, you mm-hmm. know, make sure yeah. you're all good.
They've provided a phone number in the release, and there's mm-hmm. a live chat. If you use that phone number, be nice on the call. We'll always offer that reminder.
Yeah, it's a good time to be nice, man. We're embarking on the holiday season.
That's
first
right.
day of fall. You know,
and yeah, Merry Christmas.
People just have jobs to do, you know, like... Yeah, you also don't need to. We heard a call from the Eric Age show today where, I mean, somebody was just like ready to rip into Eric, and he was like, dude, this is one of the worst calls I've ever taken in sports talk radio history. Like, what?
I thought it was pretty
wrong?
Good. I thought he brought up some good points.
Yeah. Still confused as to what he was asking Eric.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Logan, who's done a great job with us on Sports 180 the last week and a half, he's been duking it out with callers the last 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we appreciate that, Logan.
Logan versus Negative Bill has been the feud we didn't
yes.
know we needed, but we've gotten here on Sports 180, so we've had a lot of fun with that. We have 90 minutes to go here on Sports 180.
Do we need a welfare check on Negative Bill? Like, is he cool? Is
he's
he okay?
In there. Yeah, he's doing good.
Is
yeah.
he okay? I'm thinking about you, Bill. Thinking about you, because yeah. I feel it. I feel you.
Yeah. Hey, it's your birthday. Fall is here. By the way, here's your fall weather. You liking it?
It's supposed to be beautiful tonight. Yeah. So once this rain moves through, and then an absolute perfect weekend. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
As my friend Will West has pointed out many times, fall is the road to winter. That's what's coming up next. We'll
winter
come back.
Is coming.
90 minutes of Sports 180 remaining. We'll get back to Tennessee, Florida, college football, the NFL, injury updates. A lot to cover here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
2022 schedules in the SEC were released last night. Tennessee will pull LSU and Alabama as their Western Divisional crossover opponents, then travel to Pittsburgh in week two, and they will now face Akron in week three instead of Army. The open date comes after Florida in week five on October the 1st. Other college football news and notes, South Carolina announced yesterday that Luke Doty will start at quarterback Saturday against Kentucky. Major League Baseball games tonight, the Braves will be at the Diamondbacks at 9:40. The Reds and Pirates were scheduled to take off at 12:35, but that game has been postponed. The Cubs host the Twins at 7:40, and at 7:05, the Yankees host the Rangers. NFL news, the Dolphins head coach Brian Flores announced that after further testing, quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has fractured his ribs and will not play this week. He left Sunday's game injured against the Bills. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Happy birthday, Heather Harrington.
Looks like you were asking what the big birthday plans were, and I know everybody's like on the edge of their seats.
Everybody.
Yeah. It's not going to be Roosters. Shouts to Roosters, though. Love your wings.
Shouts.
Just don't make it down there much anymore. I think we've got a steak to put on the grill. Little red wine.
Okay.
Some Candyland.
Candyland.
Man.
Doesn't get more wild than that.
The kids are obsessed.
Yeah.
We are obsessed.
Candyland,
so,
very
yeah.
popular these days.
Yeah. Yeah. So going to be playing a little Candyland tonight. I am just, if you would have told me this 10 years ago, this is how I was going to be spending my birthday, I would have laughed at you and like, yeah, right. But no, that is exactly how I am spending this birthday. Yeah.
Okay. Logan Ward has a birthday 1 month from today. I assume you have similar plans. So
right on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on it.
All right.
So, yeah. From the guy that was trolling. What fan base were you trolling the other night at Fieldhouse Social?
Oh, the Lions.
Yeah, they're just openly mocking Lions fans. I'm like, it's not hard enough.
Yeah, not a tall task.
Yeah, but those are the people you have pity for. Yeah. You root for them.
I love Lions fans. Yeah.
Yeah, I really didn't I know even know any yeah. existed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good people. They've gone through a lot.
They've gone through so much.
Yep.
Resilient. And this came up in regards to Jets fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it doesn't work with Zach Wilson, when do you just call it quits on being a Jets fan? Like, we might have to have Tyler on the show in the off season to yeah. kind of walk us through that. Because I am not somebody that's a firm believer in, if something makes you miserable,
mm-hmm.
you stop doing it. You know, there's also a reason why I don't take 5 grape bombs in a single sitting anymore because I was miserable, right? Like, why are you still rooting for this franchise that wants to kill you?
Yeah, yeah. What week is it here locally?
First week of fall.
There you go. That's what it is. That's what it is. So do you, are you on the side of feeling bad for fans who experience no happiness, or do you like mocking them, or does it depend on which team we're talking about? Like, we're talking about Jets fans right now. They've had a tough go for a while.
Yeah.
Lions fans haven't experienced much good, I would say.
Yeah. And then their two best players, you know, like retired with still years in their prime to go. So that's tough.
Their other one got out of there and he's just living a good old life out in LA, Matthew Stafford.
It's going to be subjective to who the fan base is.
Okay.
Because Lions at this point in time, it's genuine sympathy. Like, mm-hmm. I am sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Let me buy you a beer. Will that help? When Alabama sucks again one day, it's going to be a troll free for all. So because of all the trolling they've done over the past however many years now.
Okay, so how should non-Tennessee fans feel for Tennessee football fans?
Oh, they're getting a kick out of it. And that's large in part because of social media presence.
That's probably a factor.
Yeah. 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 I don't know any Lions fans that are just doing what Vol Twitter does. I don't know if that exists.
I'm not aware of Lions Twitter being out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that that's like a thing. And so, yeah, I mean, there are legit media members that hate this fan base because, like, national writers, because of just the venom that has been spewed their way through the years. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I typically tend toward lean toward the side of, I feel bad for them. Now, like as a...
like Miami, I feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Miami. I also root for Miami. I want them to be good because I do feel like when Florida State and Miami are good, that weakens Florida. So they would be like doing us a solid.
Yeah, I enjoy it. The U is fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for college football.
The turnover chain is just awesome. You just want them to have more success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think for the most part, if you just polled national writers, so if you want to go that route, they find college football to be more entertaining if you have Miami, Michigan, Tennessee included that are in the mix.
Yeah, I would say
USC,
that.
USC, Texas.
Like Texas
Penn State
right
now is going to provide fun no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
So you don't worry about that. Kind of like the Cowboys, no offense.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. You're spot on. I think you could ask them that right now with what's going on at Penn State and the fact that Penn State is doing what they've done so far. That's great for college football. It's just great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
USC
environment.
USC being better.
Sure.
I mean, if you can make USC relevant again and just that dreamy West Coast.
Snoop's out of practice. Yeah, you're having a big time.
The problem is, though, too, with all of that, you've lost a little luster. The fact that, one, people travel more now than like when USC was, I mean, you know, back when USC was winning national titles, I had only been on like a handful of plane rides. Now people are going all over the place thanks to Legionnaire and, you know, things like that. And then social media, you've seen it. It doesn't have that like mysterious, oh my gosh, is life just better in California? You know, like we do know a little too much for it to ever be like back, I think, on that huge pedestal that it used to be on.
Yeah. Star power, though, can still sell. Like if these quarterbacks who have gone east had stayed at USC the last several years, I think USC is viewed differently. I mean, one, they're winning more probably.
Yeah.
But if you got that star quarterback, I mean, there was something about Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, that offense, the way it was moving. Guys that didn't end up having much NFL success, but Dwayne Jarrett, Mike Williams, they were a lot of fun with what they were doing offensively.
Yeah,
and they had players on both sides of the ball, of course.
Yeah. And Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, you talk about just the coolest of the cool. I mean, those guys.
California cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was. Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe it can come back. They're going to have to figure it out. And they've got, man, you talk about a long way to go.
So we started the segment with the Detroit Lions, ended with the USC Trojans.
Amazing.
Everything ends up moving out to LA like Matthew Stafford.
And the Rams.
LeBron left Cleveland. Let's go to Miami. Let's go to LA. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Like Rich Paul said, the NBA, they just have a lot of real estate problems.
Yeah. Yep. Chicago, maybe they'll get somebody to want to come. You got Lonzo.
Excellent. Nobody wants to come to Houston, so I mean, I can't even throw any shade at your way. Everybody's trying to leave the city of Houston, so yeah, at least you got Lonzo to go.
Yeah, somehow made it about my Bulls. We'll continue here on Sports 180.
That's what you get on Sports 180.
Yeah, updates on a few Tennessee players dealing with injury issues. That's 20 minutes from right now. We have a pop-up fact coming up for you. We continue with Tennessee Florida Week. Braden Gall, his thoughts coming up at 2:30. We are here until 3 o'clock on Sports 180 on 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. An injury update. Who's benched or battle ready thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy coming up to begin the 2 o'clock hour. Then we'll talk to Braden Gall at 2:30 as we're halfway through the week. Big college football week coming up. Week 3 in the NFL. You know, tomorrow we're gonna somewhat mock the Texans-Panthers game.
Whew.
And then I'm going to end up watching some of it. So
absolutely. You're going to have money on it. So, yeah, you got to watch and see what happens.
Right,
I'll probably
do a few fantasy lineups.
Yeah. Also, I think Sam Darnold has been, like, sneaky pretty good through the first couple of weeks. Like, you know, I think it's been a good move. You're still wondering what Matt Rhule can do with this team and what the future is. I saw some crazy odds if you're putting together one of those parlay bets on Christian McCaffrey, two or more touchdowns. Woo!
Yeah, he's...
most likely he will do.
Here's a reminder, he's really good.
He's really good
after coming back from injury last year.
Yeah. Yep. So, it's definitely something to pay attention to.
Yep.
I mean, maybe not the whole way through. You don't got to clear the 11 o'clock hour and sure you're still up. But yeah, football's football.
When we do our injury update, we'll see if we can get a little more information on what Tennessee might be looking at. Earlier in the day with the SEC coaches teleconference, we did not get information from Josh Heupel on Joe Milton. No status update on Tennessee's quarterback who started the first two games, which leaves the quarterback position in question heading into Saturday, Milton or Hooker.
Yeah, and, you know, without knowing anything, one, I thought you brought up some valid points yesterday, and I'm a Joe Milton. I'm an average Joe. I want to see Joe. I think he brings a lot to the table, and I understand he's got issues with accuracy, and maybe that will end up being his fatal flaw of why he's not QB1 mm-hmm. here at Tennessee. We'll see what happens, but you don't even know how much he's been practicing over the last 2 weeks. So this isn't something where you're good enough at this point of your career to take a couple of weeks off or a week and a half off while your knee is healing up and then get back out there and let it rip, right? Like, you're still developing and getting into the mix. So Hendon Hooker might be the safer pick, but man, I don't like his fumbles. It's become a mental block in my mind to where that's what I think of when I see him.
Well, and Hendon Hooker needs to protect the ball and himself. He fumbled the other day taking a shot, and you're only going to take so many of those before you don't get up. So that Tennessee, they're thin at the quarterback position. This past week they had two.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thin there. You don't want to have somebody go down with injury. Of course, they've already had one guy go down at one point in Joe Milton. So you got to protect the ball, have to protect yourself if you're running it. And the quarterback in this offense is going to run it, which means hits are coming from the other side. Get down if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, look at Joe Burrow. Last year, every single week, we were like, golly, how many more hits can he take? And then finally, there was the straw that broke the camel's back, right? So, yeah, you're right to point that out. You can only take so many of those shots. And then you can't have those mistakes that are just going to be where you shoot off a toe in this game. Like, you're not good enough. I was shocked that Florida was able to come back being down 21 mm-hmm. 3 after the first quarter. I mean, that was just such a surprise because I had them way out of it at that point in time. We went on with our day and started doing something else, and I came back. I was like, holy smokes, they made a game of this. You can't do that at Tennessee. You can't let them get up multiple scores in the first quarter and have any sort of shot.
I wouldn't think so. So you're saying if it's 21-3 Florida this Saturday, not liking Tennessee's chances to come back as much as what you saw last Saturday from the Gators?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like if the roles were Florida's Alabama and you're in Florida's spot, like you're not making a game of it with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, at that point, you would have to be able to hit some big shots or force some turnovers to swing things back your way. That's how you do it. So you're not like this offense should still give Tennessee a chance to be able to come back in games if things like that happen, because they will at some point.
Yep.
But we'll just come back to if they have all the advantages plus an advantage on the scoreboard, good luck to you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's staying away from those mistakes, and it's trying to force Florida, you know, I think the thing that concerns me the most is Florida's run game. And that includes Anthony Richardson, if he is truly able to go and what he brings to the table from that quarterback spot. I mean, does he gash you?
Emory was close to 20 carries against Bama.
Yep. And I mean, but could Richardson get half those yards in one carry? You know what I'm telling you? This dude
is an 80-yard play away. Yeah,
he's dynamic. So that concerns me the most is Tennessee's run defense. When you look at stat sheets, it looks great, but that's also a conversation where the stats don't tell you everything.
Yeah, like the opponents.
Yeah. So I'm curious. Again, it's a measuring stick game. And you've come up so short in the measuring stick games over the past couple of years. Maybe that trend continues. It is just year one for Josh Heupel. Mm-hmm. And he just doesn't have a lot of great options. I keep going back to the Argo line where he's like, is this really the best option we have? And he's like, yes, this is the best bad option that we have.
Yeah, take what you have and take your shot. We have a few minutes to go here in hour number two. Before we get out, let's hit today's pop-up fact. Heather, it is your birthday. I don't know if I don't know how old you are today. If you were around for this one, 94 years ago today, Jack Dempsey, an icon of the Roaring Twenties, lost his final fight, and it was a controversial heavyweight title bout known as the Long Count fight, as he was supposed to allow the count for his opponent to get up as he knocked him down. But Dempsey stood over him for a few seconds, and I believe the video showed a count of 14 seconds from when he went down to when he got up, but Dempsey perhaps allowed that time. Tunney got up and eventually won the fight against the great Jack Dempsey 94 years ago today.
Wow. You talk about just a different time. How would Twitter react to that slow count?
Oh, the outrage, especially with, you know, where the wagers probably would have been, because Gene Tunney had won the year before in the upset of the decade. So I'm sure that there were some people thinking Dempsey gets him here, and online, Twitter, they would have been raging if 14 seconds were allowed for Mr. Tunney to get back up.
Yeah. I can just imagine how the times would have been. But 94 years ago today, also a reminder of what boxing used to be and what it will never be again at this point.
Not in the same light. Still some popularity with it for sure, but for different reasons, including celebrities getting into the ring. That is our pop-up fact today. It is presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
And Burton McKinnish Law, they have offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. So if you are facing legal issues, they have family law and divorce, criminal defense, DUI, social security, or personal injury. Remember, all people are equal before the law, and a good attorney can make the difference in your case. Trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit Burton McKinnish. com.
By the way, that fight was at Chicago Soldier Field, and it was the first $2 million gate in entertainment history.
Ooh. And, you know, this time of year at Soldier Field, that timing could be tricky. A little chilly.
It could be, yeah. It's fall. We'll come back. We have one more hour of Sports 180 to go. Who's benched or battle ready? We'll call up the experts from Benchmark Physical Therapy to help us figure out what's going on with these quarterback injuries in the NFL, plus Tennessee and Anthony Richardson, really good to go with that hamstring. When we come back, one more hour of Sports 180 remains with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward on 99.1, the Sports Animal.